So as we move into this term, we've moved into a new series, and we're looking at things that Jesus said. So what Jesus said in the Bible. And if you've ever had a Bible that has showed red writing particularly, is that my microphone? If you've ever had a Bible that has red writing in it, these are the actual words from Jesus. And over the next term, we'll be looking particularly at what Jesus said in the Bible. Tonight I want to look at a couple of verses in Matthew. If you've got your Bible there, Matthew 25:14-30. And in that, have we got that screen up, guys? That's the one. And it's just a parable. And does anyone know what a parable is about in the Bible? Does anyone any thoughts about a parable? It could be a prize if you can get it right. Can anyone tell me what a parable is? Yeah. Yep. Anyone else? Oh. No, you don't get one, because you want one. Okay, have a crack. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, who said that? Sorry. Oh, look at that. So we're particularly going to look at this parable, and we're going to have a look at this parable. So let me read it for us first, and if you've got it there, join me. It's Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, and it says, Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a pretty powerful passage when we look at it in that context. And remembering, these are the words of Jesus. And this parable here is a set of parables in Matthew that Jesus is particularly talking about his return. He's particularly talking about his return, his second coming. Now, you can just imagine the disciples, they're with Jesus. So they're thinking about this parable and they're going, What? We don't understand it. And this is why Jesus took them aside to help them understand the story. And a parable is a bit like, I'll look at it this way, it's a bit like a detective story. Who loves detective stories? Yep, great. I love sci-fi. CSI. One of my favourite stories. You get all the bits of the story and you've got to work out what happened. And all the clues are there in front of you to work out who is guilty or who has done something wrong. And this parable is a bit like that. You've got all the clues, you can see the story, and you've got to work out what the meaning and the content of what Jesus is actually talking about in this passage. So to help us get kicked off, I want to have a particular look at verses 14 through to 15. And there's this word entrusted there. Right at the top there it says, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now there's a couple of things I just want to be clear about here. First of all, the servants, when he's referring to servants in this passage, he's referring to people that acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour of their life. So that's the first thing. And master is actually referring to Jesus in this passage. So entrusted. It's a bit like when I was a 17-year-old and my dad came to me with the keys of the Kingswood. Right? This Kingswood, the keys to the kingdom in our house was dad's car. And he came to me as a young man, got my license at 17. Here, son, take this car. You can go out. You can drive it. Look after it and return it just the way it is. I often took dad's car out and returned it in good condition. But what happened between when he gave me the keys and when I actually returned it, that's another story. And thankfully, he entrusted me. He entrusted me with his wealth. He entrusted me with his belonging. And this is what we can see here, is that the master who called his servants, who entrusted his wealth to them. Now, wealth in those days is a common thing for the master to give his belongings to his servants to look after. He gives it to them to watch over. So it's not an unusual thing for this passage to see this happen in that day. The bit, I guess, as we look at this passage, and I've got some gold coins here. I'm going to give these out to you because I want you to hang on to them through the service and just want you to pass them out. I could throw them out, but I might hit someone in the eye. And that wouldn't be good in the middle of the church. OH&S risk. But these coins, I want you to pass them around, Victoria. Don't eat them all. Pass them around. And these are just to help you think about this passage in terms of the tokens. And the tokens are just that. You're going to give the whole bag out. Great. So when we talk about the tokens here, and as we move on, and as we can see in verse 15, that the master is also going on a journey. And he's going on a journey. He doesn't describe where he's going on a journey, but he's telling his servants that he is going on a journey. And once again, he's sitting there with the disciples, and I'm sure the disciples, as they put this together, are looking at him going, hang on, but you're here with us now, Jesus. And this is the whole thing about why we have these wonderful stories in the Bible to help us understand what's happening. And so he entrusted them with his whole wealth, and then he went off on his journey. And then we can see in verses 16 through into 17 and even in 18, the response of these servants. So these servants have been given all this wealth and responsibility and money to look after for the master. They've been good servants and they've responded in different ways. Some have gone out and put the money to work. One gentleman has actually put the money and dug it into a ground. And as we look at this passage, we can see the different actions that we're called to respond. And we are the servants. And I say this to you is that in this way, that the representation of the talents is just we recognize a couple of things. One, we recognize that if we are the servants and Christ is the head, he is our master. Everything we have, everything we say, everything we own belongs to him. We've got to acknowledge that first up, that our master owns everything that we have. And do we do that? Do we as servants acknowledge that Jesus has given us everything we own? So this is what we're talking about is a lot of money here, but we're just talking figuratively in terms of the talents. The talents are just something to help us understand the passage. But just like that talent you've got in your hand, the servants could do whatever they wanted with it. But, and I love that, but in 18. The man who received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now we can see a little bit later in this passage, down the bottom, that this one person who might be going, well, hang on, he's been given money and he's dug a hole in the ground. But this in 24 down, the man who received one bag of gold came, master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. This servant represents the people in the world that don't know Jesus as Lord and Saviour of their life. These are the people that do not recognise the true wealth of their master. They do not understand who their master is. They do not have a master other than themselves. And then he goes on and he then takes the talents or the wealth that he'd been given this man, because he hid it in the ground, and he gives it to one of the other servants who have put it to good use. So we have two pictures here. We have a picture of the people that, in terms of the servants, the people that recognize Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and that everything they have comes from him. And they recognise that. And they've used their skills and what they have to glorify God's kingdom. And then we have the other people that don't know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. They don't recognise who the Master is. They don't have a true sense of love and respect for the Master. And then we move on into 19, and we have, it says, after a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. So we have the master return here, and once again, this is giving us an indication that Jesus is going to return. So you can just imagine Jesus sitting there with his disciples, and this sense of, for them, what are you talking about? So as the master returns, and one day, just like these the servants, we will have to stand before our Lord and Saviour and be accountable. Whether you recognise him as your Lord and Saviour or not, you're going to have to stand before him. And the question is, what does that look like for you? And as he returns, I love how he returns here, and we look from verse 20, he says, the man who received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What a beautiful passage for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. To know that one day, if we have been diligent and lived our lives for the master, that he will come back and he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Who's looking forward to that day? Who can't wait to hear those beautiful words from a loving father, a loving master, well done, good and faithful servant? And this is the Jesus that is going to come back here to earth one day. And then he goes on and he says, come and share your master's happiness. For those of us who know and have a relationship with our master, with Jesus Christ, we wait and are eager for his return. And we get to share in his happiness, not our happiness, but his happiness. Share in your master's happiness. And what a great day that will be when we get to meet our God, our Heavenly Father, again. But the passage here is, being like the other servant, the third servant, who don't know him, doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, the return of the master looked quite different. He was stripped of all his belongings. He was then sent outside. And he talks about what happens there in 30. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Referring to the time when people will be thrown into hell. It's a wonderful passage, this passage. And it's got many challenges for us in it. And as we look at it, and as we look at the response of the different servants, my question to you is this: what are you doing with the things that your master has given you here on earth? What are you doing with those things? Your time, your talents, your money, your house, your health, the list goes on. What are you doing with those? Are you actively using those things to prepare for the master's return? Like the first two servants, they recognized that the master would return at some point and they got to work. Are we working towards the master's return? Or are we comfortable coming to church on Sundays, sitting in the chairs, hearing a message, and that's it? We are called to be like the servants, the first two servants, to be active and to use the things that the master has given us to glorify his name. But what are we doing with that? I even think about this, and I shared this with the financial administration team, or the FAT, love that name, during the week. I asked that question in this passage, not from just an individual point of view, but from a church point of view. We are a church rich with resources. The master has given us those resources as a church, but what are we doing with them? So the question, first of all, has to be for us individually: what are we doing in our own lives to prepare for the master's return? But the bigger question, or the other question for us as a congregation, as a community of Christ, we sit here and we look at this building, we look at our offices, we look at the hall, we look at Long Daycare, we look at the land, and we are truly blessed as a church community. And if we acknowledge that the master, that God owns everything that we own, even the disco. I'm not sure if there'll be discos in heaven, but anyway, there'll be Jeeps. But I know. I just threw that in there just to get you the bite. But everything belongs to the master. Yeah, Lane Chris. Everything belongs to the master. And we must use the things that he has given us to glorify his name. Because we don't know the time nor the hour that he's going to return. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you like the first two servants, or are you like the third servant and still going, yeah, I guess so, maybe one day? But are we actively doing things that God wants us to do? Are we actively using the resources that have been given to us? And we are a rich society compared to many in our world. We are rich people. And I'm sure that you, like me, can't wait to that day where we hear those beautiful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Wouldn't you love to hear that? Isn't that going to be wonderful, those days when we get to stand before our Lord and Savior, our Master, and He welcomes you into His presence? But the challenge with that is we don't know when. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be another 50 years. By then I'll be 101. Hey. But we don't know the time nor the hour, but we've got to be ready. As we walk through these passages over the next period and we look at the words from Jesus, and particularly this passage, He's reminding, and there's three different sections here that He reminds His disciples about His return, His coming back. And I encourage you to have a look at Matthew, just the chapter before that, and have a look at what He's saying there to His disciples. Or are we going to be like, you know, I think about this last bit here, and "You wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I would harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed." And then He goes on and He rips the resources away and throws His servant out. I would hate, and that breaks my heart, to think that one day there's going to be people that will be their encounter with our loving God, that their encounter won't be as kind and as loving as the encounter for those of us who know our Lord and Saviour. Their encounter with Him will be quite different and will be quite painful, and it will be forever. So our challenge is quite simple. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, at the urgency to use the things that we have here in this world to glorify God's name and to bring the other servants, the other people that in this world that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. It's our job to share that message, to share the message of salvation, to share the message of hope, to share the message of that they get to stand before Jesus, the Creator of the heavens and earth, and hear those beautiful words. And to get to come and share the Master's happiness. There's a few things I just want to finish off with. As I said before, to hear those beautiful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. What a wonderful time that will be to hear that. And the responsibility, "I will put you in charge of many things." So the more, not in terms of saved by works, but the more that we do with the little that God has given us here, and the more that we glorify His name, the bigger things that He'll expect from us. Not that we're going to become rich because we follow Jesus, but because He recognizes that we are working for Him and His kingdom. And He will give us more tasks and more different things to do. Happiness. Come and share your Master's happiness. As I've said before, that will be awesome to come and share the happiness with Jesus, our Master, as we stand before Him at that cross where He died for us. And this is just a glimpse. This parable is just a glimpse of what Jesus was trying to tell His disciples. And they had Jesus with them at this time. We don't. But I can tell you, as every second goes by, we are a moment closer to that wonderful return. Are we ready? Are you prepared for the master's return. And this is Jesus speaking. This is not me or anyone else. These are Jesus' words. In the parable, he's showing us the truth. He's telling us the truth of things in an earthly way about what's to come. But as we move into a time of communion, and we move to a time where we, as a family of believers, we come together to share the bread and the juice that represent Jesus Christ's body that was broken and shed on the cross for us. I want you to think about, before you come and partake of these emblems with us here, I want you to think about your relationship. Is Jesus your master? And if so, what type of servant are you? Are you going to hear those beautiful words from him one day? You know, Jesus died on the cross for us. He was nailed, his body was pierced, he was beaten. But he did it because he loved you. And this is why we have these passages, to show his love and remind us of him and remind us that he's coming back again. We must be prepared for that. I encourage you to think about, to look, to understand, to dig in, to use the things that your master has given you. And I don't know where your heart's at. I don't know what your relationship is like with our Lord and Saviour. Only you do. Do we humbly recognise Jesus as our master and Saviour? So I'm going to break this. I want you just to spend some time in prayer reflecting on your relationship and asking yourself, are you ready? Are you working towards Jesus' return? Actively. Actively working towards his return. Thank you.